This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Trap Sailor Moon pork recipes. It's good every time.
Oh, this is a good one.
That's right.
Sailor Moon. It doesn't say trap music, which would be not specific enough, but just trap.
The request button does nothing. That's
what's up, Sailor Moon fans?
Hello, Sailor Moon and pork fans.
Tonight to discuss pork recipes.
Do you love pork? Do you love Sailor Moon? Welcome.
I have to restart my phone. Sorry, hold on.
Well, everyone will be joining.
Who restarts their phone?
Well, Twitter let me join the space, but wouldn't let me request to speak.
I'm actually kind of shocked that it went this far.
Because the four engineers left at Twitter are sleeping right now, which is fine. They're allowed to do that.
Did you see that somebody took a photo of a Slack conversation where the dude who was in charge of rehiring a bunch of the folks that he brought back was like, I don't like bringing these people back, so let's make sure we only bring them back long enough to get everything fixed. But then that got leaked.
Whoops. And then it'll be fine.
Whoops. Damn it.
Fucking why can't you have an iPhone like a normal person?
I don't think that's the problem.
But if we can make fun of you for not having an iPhone, we're going to do it.
I don't know how many people on this.
I didn't want Bill Barnwell to feel alone. Okay.
You got Felder.
You got Felder too, yeah.
Should I just deactivate my whole account? Would that be the best solution?
Maybe. Deactivate Twitter.
No way. That's going to be a collector's item. Just give it a few more days.
Yeah. Also, lest we forget, this entire conversation is happening while the 1,000 people in the space cannot hear Ryan.
Nope.
Yeah, Ryan right now.
It's just all of us talking to imaginary Ryan.
Folks, sound off with emojis that correspond to what you believe Ryan is saying.
Let's go to freeconferencecall.com.
We're going to go ahead and open up the conference call to 10,000 listeners at once.
That's not the worst idea, frankly.
We have done that, and it
did
sound...
That's when it crashed it, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. It did sound like Event Horizon. It sounded like we opened a portal straight to space hell.
Twitter won't let me log out of my account.
This is amazing.
Ryan log out of his account.
This is the stupidest shit in the world.
This is fabulous.
It won't let me leave the space. It won't let me request to join. It won't let me log out. I don't even think if I tried to delete my account, it would let me do that either. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I can't I can't log out, so I can't log in either.
Brian cannot log out, so he cannot log in. This is amazing. Accounts?
No, I don't think it will let me do that. I'm not confident it will let me do that.
I cannot believe people think that this is our fault.
Y'all get going, and if I can, I'll hop in. If not, I'll just
don't you dare sign off the Zoom, Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan, stay in the Zoom.
Spencer, you are my proxy. You say everything that I say.
I am currently Ryan's proxy.
You give Spencer your proxy?
Holly, you would do a better job.
No one said Ryan was a good lawyer.
But Spencer will fuck it up in a funnier way. Please let them know that I'm being shadow banned.
He is being shadow banned.
So much for freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm. So much for the tolerant left, as in what's left of Twitter.
Forecast after dark for men.
Welcome to the full cast after dark.
Yeah, fuck you. It let me in. It let me in. I'm here.
Ryan! Hey!
Yeah.
Ryan is here.
That's right. Right on time. Now, what tech solution proved to be the decisive one, Ryan?
Rather than restart my phone, I turned it all the way off, sat for 5 seconds, and then turned it back on.
Okay, yeah. So you hit it with a blow on the cartridge.
That's right.
What sorcery freed you from
Gary Sinise in Apollo 13? You ain't got shit on me.
We also appear to have successfully passed it on to someone else, a la It Follows. I just got a text from Michael Serber saying that the Haint killed the Blitz tonight.
Yeah, that's what you get for sleeping with the full cast. Now the curse is yours.
That text showed up right when Ryan appeared.
It really did.
That's true.
Would anyone like to play a game?
Can I do one thing before we do that?
Fucking, have we not waited on you enough?
I'm sorry. The bowl eligible t-shirt company, whatever the fuck this is.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The shirt just says bowl eligible, okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't say invited to a bowl. It doesn't say guaranteed to make a bowl appearance. It doesn't say which bowl you will go to. It just says bowl eligible. To me, that means you won 6 games. And mm-hmm. that you are not, like, in the JMU position where it's like, hey, you're new, so even if you're good, you're not allowed to play in a bowl game because they're only for the old dudes. So why are you dicking over UConn? Why are you fucking over UConn and saying you have to wait to see what shakes out with everything else?
That is so mean. Don't act like you're better than this.
Yeah, by this logic, if UConn had won 10 games, they would have been like, well, I guess we still got to wait and see who gets the invite. You know, you just never know how these things are going
to
go.
Did you do this to Notre Dame?
Is Notre Dame bowl eligible?
Oh, I haven't checked. That's a great point.
I haven't
checked. I don't know.
BYU?
A lot of independents do have bowl ties. Yes, so that's true. That's the unfortunate situation for UConn. Why is this
fucking Facebook ass algorithm t-shirt company being like, oh, we're better than you?
I love that this sport is such bullshit that this is the official entity of the postseason, and yet it also feels like Etsy spam.
I like that you said
I'm a dentist them. And I'm from Toledo
and I fuck my wife.
Corgi. I love my corgis and my daffodil bulbs. And if you don't like it, then deal with it. How many do you want to just make like one of those shirts a day in the off season and just see how many we can sell?
Sure.
Just make a generator.
Why not?
Oh, we could make a generator where people can make their own.
You know what we won't do? We won't say that we're the bowl eligible shirt and then wait for UConn to get disappointed to not print the shirts.
I think Homefield should just make UConn a bowl eligible.
Correct. Yeah, correct. What possible harm would result from this?
You think UConn actually gives a fuck about going to a bowl? They just want the shirt, man.
UConn, we're going to make you bowl eligible stickers, and we're going to have them up on our website.
Yep.
We'll make our own bowl game with blackjack.
And also, if there's nothing else, why wouldn't the of all the – it's a bad business decision on top of everything else, because why would you not want to cash in on the emotion that comes with attaining bowl eligibility on the back of fucking Liberty?
Of the groups, we've talked about, like, they print this shirt for Ohio State. Nobody's buying that shirt for Ohio State. No. They printed this shirt for Florida. And while, yes, I am pretty happy that Florida's bowl eligible because I wasn't that confident in it
during sure.
this season.
Not a guarantee.
Not a lot of Florida fans are going to buy that shirt. I think UConn fans would have bought this shirt to remember a very fun season.
And not only to celebrate that, but to celebrate a week in the news cycle where over and over again, the worst shitheads in America have caught L's.
Yes.
I think the fact that the shirt says bowl bound.
Is that the problem?
Well, yeah. I mean, it should say eligible because then it's, you know, then you're not hung up on, they're not technically bound. But
so they
like,
fucked this up on the front end.
Yeah, they were a little bit too ambitious.
Hey, bowl bound t-shirt company. I have a wild idea. Change one word and print the shirt then.
Give me the fucking shirt.
I know you're capable of changing one word in the shirt because you do them for different teams. Don't tell us it's hard.
Or if you want, print Bull Unbound. Make UConn sound like the wildest horse in the West.
That sounds sexy.
The team that cannot be tossing changed to any bowl.
Yeah, exactly. No god tells me orders.
Just no Jim gods, no masters,
this is Jim
no bowls.
Mora's under the Tuscan sun moment, and you're taking it from him.
UConn should now affirmatively come out and say, like, we'll decline all bowl invites. Fuck bowls.
No, yeah, he should change his name to Jim W. Mora.
They didn't make us a shirt, so we don't like bulls.
That's right.
I want to do this. I want to start making shirts, but for teams, right? Like, yeah, I'm a little rowdy, and I might lose to App State at home, but I'll pay my beloved coach $95 million and not even get to a bowl. Hell, we might not get to 5 wins.
Listen, we're not.
And I'm a forklift driver.
We're not
certified.
We're not.
I'm a certified forklift operator, and I vote.
I want, Spencer, I want you to have time for A&M. I want us all to have time for A&M. But I said I would just jump in there before Holly's game, so now I want Holly to be able to do her game.
Do the game.
I know that you have all been waiting for this. How many of you watched the Iowa State Oklahoma State football contest today?
Zero minutes of it.
Outstanding. I was inspired to watch this when I, hang on, I don't want to quite give it away. Let me set the scene for this game, which Oklahoma State did win 20-14, but that doesn't quite tell the story of what happened in the game. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State trailed until the final 5 minutes of the game, trailed Iowa State. And that's kind of what set me off on this inspirational journey. Let me just read aloud to you the conclusions of the drive chart in the first half, and you'll see where I'm going.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Punt, 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 fumble, turnover on downs, interception, punt, interception, field goal, punt, punt, touchdown, touchdown, punt, interception, missed field goal, end of half.
That was all in the first half?
First half.
That's a lot to happen in. Okay.
So I decided to dive into this box score when, for the 5 seconds I had this game on, en route to somewhere else, I saw Iowa State commit its fourth turnover, and I looked at the score, and they were up 14-10. So we're gonna go through the box score today, and I've probably just given it away, but I do just want to highlight some things. I'm going to give you guys a statistical category, and you are going to tell me who won. Who do you think had more first downs, Iowa State or Oklahoma State? Ryan, we'll start with you.
I'll say Iowa State.
You are correct. Iowa State had 19 first downs to Oklahoma State's 11. Jason, who would you say had better third down efficiency, Iowa State or Oklahoma State?
I'm going to stick with Iowa State.
That's correct. Iowa State was 6 of 17 to Oklahoma State's 1 of 14.
Jesus.
Damn.
This is a I'm not even going to get into the yards, but of the 3 quarterbacks who suited up in this game, which of the following, and I'm not going to tell you who they played for. There were 3 quarterbacks. One team played their starter, and the other team played a starter and a backup. Which quarterback finished with a QBR of 7.4? Spencer.
Iowa State.
I'm sorry. The answer was Gunnar Gundy.
Oh man!
No.
Oh man!
Who went 5 of 12 for 103 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 picks.
Hey, made those 5 count, though. Woo!
Yeah.
It's a good Listen, being a coach on the field has to take up a lot more time than we thought.
Sure.
All right, let's...
good
let's,
God.
I'm sorry, let's... I won't drag this out too much longer. But... how many turnovers combined? I'm gonna let all you guys guess. how many turnovers combined to commit. And when, please note that we are already starting with a baseline of 4.
So can I ask one follow-up question? Mm-hmm. What time of the game was it when you saw them commit their 4th turnover?
It was roughly. This would have been right at the end of the 3rd quarter.
Okay.
And 3 of those, they took their time, by the way, because Iowa State committed 3 of those turnovers in the 1st quarter, at the end of which they only trailed 7-10.
Do you want us to say how many for each or just a total?
No, just the total number of turnovers.
I'll say 8.
Jason?
Oh, 7.
Spencer?
9.
Jason is correct. Okay. The answer is Iowa State committing an additional turnover for a total of 5 to Oklahoma State's 2.
It is worth noting at this point, Oklahoma State is still in contention to play in the Big 12 championship game.
They sure are.
As are Baylor,
mm-hmm.
Texas.
Mm-hmm.
If you reach Texas Tech, Kansas also could potentially do this thing. TCU's got it. Congrats. TCU's there. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really worried about that. Kansas State, mm-hmm. driver's seat. Looking good.
I forgot 2 other weird things from the start of this game that weren't weird before, that were maybe weird before but aren't weird now. Iowa State was favored in this game by 3 despite being 4-6.
I think that is largely a function of how injured Oklahoma State was.
The over-under in this game was 47.5. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I think it's that plus how jammed up the Big 12 is. Looking at these standings, the teams that are out of the race would be West Virginia, Iowa State, and, Oklahoma. my favorite thing in the Big 12 right now is the current winning streaks and losing streaks. Everybody is just 1. Like, every week it flips.
Yes.
Win one, lose one. The only exception, other than TCU, is a team on a 2-game losing streak, which is, it's Oklahoma again. The team that's supposed to win this conference every year is the only team on a losing streak.
That's at least a system.
Some people, I as personally find this relatable, the Big 12 refuses to engage or develop 1 consistent habit. Congratulations.
This entire conference is perfect equilibrium, and TCU has managed to break free of that gravity.
Yes.
And good for them.
Yeah. Truly. I mean.
Anyway, I didn't mean to bring everybody down by starting into that right off the bat, but that was just a humdinger of a box score.
While I agree with you, I don't think it tops the Iowa-Wisconsin box score.
Why? What happened?
First of all, did something happen?
Duty obliges me to ask Jason if he has anything on this first.
This is far too high scoring to interest me.
Let me put it this way. At one point during the Auburn A&M game, I think when A&M only had 3 points, one of the announcers says, basically, sheesh, even Iowa's offense scored 17 points today.
Yeah.
Iowa beat Wisconsin by a score of 24-10. Here are real numbers from that game. Spencer Petras, 14 of 23 for 94 yards, no touchdowns, no picks.
Clean sheet.
Iowa's rushing totals, 52 yards on 45 carries. That's not sack adjusted because Spencer Petras got sacked a few times, but they had two touchdowns.
We can't call it rushing at that point, right? That's like ambling yards.
It's more of a shuffle.
Iowa's trundling yards.
Iowa went 6 of 19 on third down, which isn't terrible.
Nah.
They held the ball for 33 minutes. Wisconsin turned it over 3 times.
Iowa's longest play of the entire day, 19 yards.
They each had... each team had 11 first downs. And Iowa finished the day with 146 yards of offense. Just fucking beautiful.
Too many points, but I love the yardage totals.
Which now brings us to the Big Ten West, which, y'all, is a fucking mess. For a while, it looked like Illinois was going to do us a solid and just, like, win this division cleanly, simply, and not have us have to think about math or tiebreakers or any of that shit. But this is the situation we now are faced with. Purdue.
Wait, sorry, yeah, time out. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
What?
Interrupting for breaking news from Uncle Pitt at the Willard years. Our friends and neighbors, the Sickos Committee, have apparently already complained to the bowl season, bowl shirt bullshit Twitter account. And this is the response they gave to the Sickos. As an independent team, UConn is not guaranteed a spot in a bowl game once they've won 6 games. But we are working hard on it and hope to have some good news for you soon. What does that mean? Fuck do you... What are you working hard on?
We are working on murdering Florida.
Working on what?
FTX bowl, baby. FTX.
Who is standing between you and the switch to print the t-shirts?
Also, like, look.
This is Elon running this account?
We see what this business is. Nobody's working hard, and that's fine. You've found a business where you don't have to work hard. That's cool.
No, we're taking this entirely. We're copying your entire business model next year, and you're gonna be too lazy to stop us, and your shirts won't be as comfy because ours are gonna be home field.
We're just gonna publish bowl deserving shirts. That's it. We'll be like, this team deserves a bowl. We can like do that for teams that go 4-8.
People's Heisman, but for entire teams.
Bowl. Yeah.
Coastal Carolina, week.
Why
one.
are some noteworthy teams gonna go 4-8? Ryan, what were you saying about the Big Ten?
Okay, so here's where we stand in conference standings of the Big Ten West. There is a 4-way tie for first. Purdue, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota are all 4-3 in conference play. Wisconsin, who lost today to this incredibly Iowa effort, is 3-4 and still in play. I did a little bit of work here. I'm not gonna. Listen. The permutations for if there is a way where I believe all of these teams can finish 5-4. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But,
but maybe
Wisconsin can finish 5-4 and win the Big Ten West if Purdue loses to either Northwestern or Indiana. A lot of these count on that. Like, if Purdue can hold it together to beat Northwestern and Indiana, two terrible fucking teams, two easily beatable teams at this juncture, if they can do that, almost everything on here goes out the board. But if they lose to either one of them, a bunch of stuff opens up. Wisconsin also needs Illinois to lose to Michigan and Northwestern. That's right, we need Northwestern to win multiple games for Wisconsin to get into the Big Ten championship game. Iowa has to lose to Minnesota and Nebraska, and then Wisconsin obviously has to beat Minnesota. The other permutations for the others are like Minnesota is in the worst shape. They need to win out and for Purdue to lose to either Northwestern or Indiana and Illinois to lose to either Michigan or Northwestern. The Michigan one is at least possible. It is mostly a Purdue, Illinois, Iowa race at this point. Nobody really controls their destiny. Everybody.
No. Say that sentence one more time so my ears can puke again.
It is mostly Purdue, Illinois, Iowa race at this point.
God, fuck me,
Spencer. That might be spinal fluid.
Because Purdue has head-to-head wins over Illinois and Minnesota. And they don't play anybody who's in this tiebreaker left. So that if they win out, they need Iowa to lose to Minnesota or Nebraska. Iowa has the head-to-head over Purdue, which is why if they both win out, they'll win that tiebreaker. But they would need, because they lost to Illinois, they need Illinois to lose to either Michigan or Northwestern. I'm saying Northwestern so many times that, you know, that thing where it stops making sense, a word, because you've said it too many times? The fucked up thing about the Big Ten West at this point is that it's made Northwestern and Indiana relevant in November.
So very likely the Big Ten championship is going to be the like clear, no doubt number two team against an 8-4 Purdue. And looking, that is likely a 21-point spread based on based on current numbers. That is an unranked Purdue.
Purdue has Ohio State right where they want them. Right where they want them. That's exactly.
Ohio State or Michigan, either way, would be like no doubt, hands down, number two and gigantic favorite over Purdue. Good shit. Really good shit.
God.
File not found, babe.
Good God. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. This would be, by the way, a Purdue team that beat FAU by 2 earlier in the year and Maryland and Maryland by 2. Only beat Nebraska by 6. God.
Somebody just paid $1 billion for that TV contract.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
Do crimes.
Do crimes. We've said it again. If you're Ryan like, is
boiling inside his skin.
All right, I'll change the subject just to save myself. Do all the other SEC coaches hate Eli Drinkwitz?
Oh yeah.
Wait,
is Godfrey in here? Because I know he can attest to this.
Because Tennessee put up over 700 yards today.
Oh, Eli talked some shit this summer, like on Jim Rome, and I know nobody was happy about that. But also, here's the thing. That last touchdown where the announcer spent the backups were in. The last, like, 3 long bombs of that game were Joe Milton. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
What do you want? I'm sorry you couldn't stop our backups.
But they just gave him an extension.
Sure did.
$2 million raise there, yeah.
Sure did.
Yes, they did.
Sure did. I'm sorry that you couldn't stop our backups. But then we got to watch Joe Milton threw one of the, and this, I've had a lot of chance to watch pretty passes from this team today, but Joe Milton threw one of the prettiest passes I have seen today to none other than Squirrel White.
Holly, how many points was the margin between Mizzou and Tennessee at that point? And at what point in the game was it?
I don't know, 35?
Yeah, the margin was 35 points.
Yeah.
At that instant in the game.
First of all, A, senior day. B, backups were in. C, Eli, shut the fuck up and stop them.
I didn't know this at the time, but it looks like the 4 months ago, the Drinkwitz comments were about expecting Tennessee to vacate wins, which would theoretically improve Drinkwitz's record. What a fucking nerd. Shut up. I think the cops should step in and give me more fake wins.
Which is weird because, like,
I do think
which
that,
is weird
though.
Because do you remember him at App State? Like, he was chesty and he like came like, and now he's pulling like, this is some James Franklin at Vanderbilt shit, and I do not respect it at all. But you know who respects it even less than me? Joe Milton. I'm sorry that our backup quarterback didn't pull up on you, Eli.
Throwing deep up by 35. I want everyone listening and everyone who can hear my voice know I approve. I think this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think you should be able to throw deep at any point in the game.
Thank you, son of Spurrier.
Yes. Well, don't like it. You better stop it.
Yeah. Had 3 full quarters, to say nothing of the entire rest of this fucking season, to figure out that you should probably put a body on Jalen Hyatt. Do you see the guy? He's got a, if only he wore a number on his shirt to delineate which person he is on the field, and you could send one of your guys running after him. I'm not a football coach, but at this point in the season, I might try covering him.
Well, you know who is a football coach? Is Jimbo Fisher.
maybe they should switch places.
Jimbo Fisher's Texas A&M Aggies, not many people remember this, but they were the most heralded, discussed, and not quite the most hyped, but certainly up their team of the offseason, entering the year at number 6 in the rankings. And 6 is an interesting number when it comes to Texas A&M, because here's a little bit of a coincidence. Their preseason ranking, which was 6, is also the number of games consecutively they have lost. But that's not all the games they've lost, because they also lost to Appalachian State. That makes 7, which means the bowl season shirt company does not need Texas A&M's logo this year, because they've lost too many games.
Printed anyway. Fuck the law.
I believe we have to end the $95 million Gasparilla Bowl watch. Yeah.
Oh, that fell off a week or two ago.
It's not even time to buy your Thanksgiving turkey yet.
They fell down to the Vegas Bowl last week.
Now, bowl bound company, funnier. Are you willing to sell bowl ineligible shirts? Because a lot of people buy that for the Aggies.
Yeah. at the Bowl Season Company, demand bowl ineligible.
Hey, Texas,
Texas
you love
A&M
money.
Shirts.
You love money and you love not acknowledging Texas A&M, but maybe you could get over one of those for just a second.
Bowl Unbound, Jimbo Fisher.
It was just Jimbo taking a hat off and shaking his hair in the wind as Wildfire plays in the background.
Auburn shut A&M out for three quarters.
Is that song about having sexual congress with a horse?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't even matter what song you're talking about. It is.
Wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Any other song as well, though.
Don't know it.
Is that not
yep.
the song about the horse?
I don't know.
Could be, sure. Sounds like it is.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the thing about losing to this Auburn team. It is bad. There is some bad timing to it. Like, there has never been, I think, a more visible shift in vibes than Auburn dumping Brian Harsin for Cadillac Williams. It hasn't necessarily made them like a hugely better football team, but everybody just seems to feel a lot better.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change a lot of the fun. Like, Auburn was not a 3-win team that was secretly an 8-win team. Like, they had flaws. Robbie Ashford really cannot throw the ball very well. And they don't ask him to very much as a result. Like, this was not, oh, you accidentally stumbled upon, like, this wasn't a she's all that situation where it's like, ah, fuck, Auburn was gorgeous this whole time once they took off their glasses.
No, took off the glasses and you're like, ooh, that. Whoa. Right.
The thing is,
put those back on? Take them off.
What happened here is they encountered people who look ugly in overalls.
Yes.
Hey, before somebody hits us with it in the chat and spoils the joke, y'all know what She's All That is a remake/ripoff of that is specifically particular to Texas A&M. You remember the movie that inspired She's All That?
No.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yep. Anyway, yeah, this is still a pretty bad Auburn team that you lost to. They were fired up and they did what they needed to do, and that's great. But, like, whew.
Everything we're saying makes it worse for the Aggies.
It should. That's the point. It should. And if there's one, I already said this to Jason and I said it on Twitter, but if there's one team that I think should feel okay about losing today, it's Ole Miss, because can you imagine going into Thanksgiving weekend saying, I will care about the Egg Bowl and I will be invested as a third party in Jimbo Fisher doing something good? What an insane approach to life that would be. Now what a foolish fucking errand.
And now literally no one has to care about that game.
No,
right?
No. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I hope Brian Kelly throws it and says, yeah, I bet against us. And now we're all rich. All my players did too. Fuck you. Now we have $95 million. You know what we're going to do with it? Not give it to Jimbo.
Because LSU has LSU clinched?
Yes, LSU is clinched because they have
LSU doesn't need that. Doesn't need that win at all.
Correct.
Because fuck it, if you beat Georgia in the title game with three losses, sure, playoff. Why not?
Right. Right. Yes.
Phone it in, boys. Phone it in.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, let Jimbo have one. Keep him around.
Forfeit. Whatever.
Oh, keep him around. This is great. We love it. This is great.
I a little bit ago I tweeted that your preseason number 6 Texas A&M and Aggies winless in October. In November they're gonna pick up one win and they another loss still to go. No dubs in December or January. The one game that they will be against UMass, who is almost universally considered the worst team in FBS. When I tweeted this, I had a whole bunch of Aggies responding with, whoa, easy. You're putting expectations on Jimbo.
don't look at him. He hates it when you look at him.
Don't go around saying we can beat UMass.
Slow down.
So that's where things are, is don't count your wins over UMass before they're hatched.
Like A&M's going to finish at the bottom of the SEC West. Vanderbilt, as Jason pointed out earlier before we started, Vanderbilt has a higher conference winning percentage as of this recording than Texas A&M does.
Than preseason number 6 Texas
yes.
A&M.
And like, by the way, shouts to Vanderbilt for getting a win in the first time in 3 years. Kentucky, that sucks. You shouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have.
A&M is currently, I like, from looking at things earlier, currently one of the 10 most overrated teams of the preseason AP poll era. That's 72 years. And things could get worse. Like, they could be one of the 5 most overrated teams ever. Which is pretty fucking bad, I think.
It's nice that they have something to look forward to.
Yeah, the last time A&M touched the hem of the 4-win season nightgown.
What?
Just let him have it. No, let him go.
It's in Diablo 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Diablo 2.
don't equip it. It makes you slow. It makes you really slow.
Spencer's like kind of using biblical language, but he overheard it 3 spots ahead of him on an airplane or something.
I read the Bible through 8 other conversations that somebody else had about the Bible.
Touch the hem of, that's it.
God's face.
What? I saw God through a hole in the sheet.
God's doily face.
And you will touch the hem of God's board shorts.
Yeah, God does wear board shorts, bro. Yes. His legs look amazing.
Because God wants to be able to go straight from 7-Eleven to the beach.
Where you only saw 2 sets of tracks is because God was fucking blading.
God was skimboarding. That's why.
Dude, if God is skimboarding in the Bible and y'all haven't told me about it, I'm going to be so mad.
That's called Genesis 1-2.
That's why you bother to go
through. It's the first page, bro.
How do you think Jesus walked on water? Skimboard, baby.
Because Jesus had to walk on water because he hadn't learned to skimboard.
Literally, the second verse is about God skimboarding.
Yeah, again, I need to check out this Bible thing.
What were you even trying to talk about before this?
It was about the 4 losses.
Last time they had 4 wins was 2008. That'd be Mike Sherman's first year on the job. Before that, you got to go all the way back to Dennis Franchione's first year.
Oh, no.
There's a guy who knows a little bit about touching the hems and nightgowns.
Wow.
That's the wrong Bama coach scale.
It is, but I was just going to
I was going to say Dennis Franchione, Substack and newsletter pioneer. Let's go ahead and give him his due.
It's much funnier to think of Dennis Franchione, horny as fuck.
I'm sure he's been a lover a time or two.
Oh, I get it. French class.
Swiggity swooty. I'm leaving this job to go take the Alabama job or Kansas job, maybe. Yeah. He is. Dennis Franchione was going to leave Alabama to take the Kansas job. If you just want to go ahead and like test how dumb that man was.
Now I'm just going to sing Wildfire again.
Yeah.
Before we get Texas A&M fans feeling too bad, and
no, they're rich, they're fine.
By the rule of inverse proportions or whatever, Texas fans feeling too good. Steve Sarkisian showed up to the TCU Texas game looking like creepy uncle's custom painted van.
Oh, y'all know that outfit was flames.
I liked it.
I love it.
I think there are people it would have been flames on.
It's a little less flames when Texas rushes for 28 yards on 22 carries.
Yeah, but we didn't have to look at the jacket and that box score in the same frame.
That's true. That's true. 1 of 13 on third down. 199 total yards. A 17-10 loss to TCU.
Really a 17-3 loss.
Correct. Correct.
Because the only touchdown they scored was literally handed to them by TCU on a scoop and score fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember Joe McGuire from Texas Tech when he said, after beating Texas earlier this season, I told you they would break, and they did.
But more importantly, he looked like, and thank you TJ McAloon for pointing this out, because now I need this entire outfit. He looked like he was about to coach the 1980s Vancouver Canucks.
I am
dropping a picture of this outfit in the chat, because the 1980s Vancouver Canucks uniform is fucking wildfire.
Are you thinking
for
like
real this time?
Are you thinking like velour sweatsuit or like caftan or what?
Oh no, I'm talking like taffeta.
Okay.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad and they remain bad. And Texas remains, as Joel Anderson might say, soft. They are soft. They do not finish games. They do not run the ball. They do not play hard defense, and they managed to take TCU on a night when TCU could have been beatable. Hey, we're just going to go ahead and repeat this storyline, right? Oh, it looks like you can beat TCU, but you didn't. No, no one's managed to do it yet. Undefeated TCU. Rank them number one, cowards.
I love that.
Like Channel 6 did.
TCU, if you sort of like blind item this resume that TCU's done, if we put a big brand name on this, we'd say, this is bullshit. Get this out of here.
Absolute garbage. I fucking hate it.
They win every game by 3 points. But like, fuck all y'all. TCU in the playoff.
That's correct.
Looks great to me.
That is correct.
Ship it.
Channel 6 ranked him number one just a couple of days ago, haters.
Saying. This is, yeah, by the way, this is, you're right. Like, Jason, this was like, prior to last week, TCU was Clemson. Where you're like, oh god, no.
No. Well, like Clemson was bullshit by playing exactly like TCU.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're like, but like you look at that and you go, well, I've seen Clemson in this spot before.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't want to see that again. Let's avoid that if possible.
I mean, yeah, I look at TCU squeaking out every game and I'm like, it's called winners. It's called winning.
Yeah, sorry if
that's
you don't
the
understand
only, the
football.
Only stat that matters to me, nerd.
Let me give you some advanced analytics. These nuts. That's what I.
See, I swore you were going to play on the word anal appearing in analytics.
No, there's no word play.
That's under the nightgown. We don't discuss it.
Too clever.
That's too far under the helmet.
The hem of God's face.
The hem of God's face.
Skim
face down there by
the
nutsack.
It's the mouth.
Nobody help him. Nobody help him. Spencer, what do you think a hem is?
The hem of the anus is.
Never mind.
It's the opposite of a her.
I hate him.
No, I gotta
give him
that
dignifying that question with the correct answer.
For men.
Y'all, Virginia Tech's bad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Ooh, damn,
Virginia Tech has lost 7 in a row now. That's the first time they've done that since 1951. This has gone, like,
oh, God.
Quietly unnoticed. But Virginia Tech's 2-8. And, like, I'm not saying that it's the first year under a new coach. Things had obviously like unraveled in a pretty alarming way under the previous one. It's a rebuild. I get all that. But Virginia Tech's not supposed to go 2-8. Uh-uh. UVA is supposed to go 2-8, and they're not good, but they're 3-7.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Tell me what fair's got to do with supposed to. Looks like they're going to go 2-8.
You're right.
Well, that's the problem. Virginia Tech isn't supposed to not only lose badly against Duke in football, but also to get made to look like dorks online by Duke, who accused Virginia Tech of playing for Twitter Blue. Like, when Duke looks cool, you have fucked up bad.
You really have.
Y'all made Duke
when Duke
football.
Calls you. When Duke calls you like a pocket chasing nerd,
try hard dorks.
Duke is like, oh, look at you sucking up to rich people. God damn.
That is an amazing moment for Duke, though. Shouts out to Duke.
I hope at least the person who got to type that accusation was on scholarship.
Right, like when the boot is on the other foot, that's an amazing feeling.
I think in this exact situation, this
the
is when the boot,
boot
the boot licking is on the other foot, on the other tongue.
Yeah.
No, I have a guy who licks my boots for me.
Virginia Tech.
No, I meant that in the sense of like a rich person. Come on. What in all my history
this is
would
indeed
make you think I meant that sexually?
You're
indeed
a businesswoman. I don't know what you do to make money. It's fine.
What
arbitrage. Just saw an opportunity for arbitrage.
That's right.
Virginia Tech next. Speaking of weird sex stuff, they're going to Liberty. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to lose to Liberty. God damn.
You know why? Because Virginia Tech's not as good as UConn.
Find the fucking
that's just lie. That's just true. This Commonwealth Cup is going to be fucking dregs. It's
not
gonna
much
be
wealth. Not much wealth, but it's very common.
Before I bust this out, we have not touched on the opening of that game, right? Because I do want to say it out loud just so we could get it down for posterity's sake that we all saw what happened in the first 16 fucking seconds of that game, right?
The Virginia game, you mean?
Yes, the Virginia Pitt game.
I did not.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Oh, so they started the game, and you know, UVA and Pitt are tied because that's how teams start games. And then UVA decides to throw a pass, and that pass is supposed to go to a UVA player, but it doesn't. And it goes to into the arms of a Pitt player on the first play of the game for a pick six. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
That's different.
That happens. That happens. Okay. We're going to go ahead. We'll just reset and we'll do it again because Brandon Armstrong's a great quarterback. We've built our whole team around him and surely this can work out. So they kick off. Pitt kicks off. UVA gets the ball again. They call another pass because Brandon Armstrong is a good quarterback and he could do that kind of shit. And then he throws the ball back to Pitt for another pick six in 16 seconds of game time with no offensive plays run. Pitt was up 14-0. Pat Narduzzi was erect. Like Pat Narduzzi. Pat Narduzzi should not have been in public at that point.
Oh boy. Okay. Now we run. Now we run.
Perfect football at last.
Perfect football. Oh,
I showed them the pain that comes with passing.
I've punished them.
If I have this right, Brandon Armstrong had not completed more passes to Virginia than Pittsburgh until the 13-minute mark in the second quarter.
it's a bad day, man. It's a bad fucking day, dude.
It was a bad day.
Just keep slinging.
Also, so you thought, well, maybe Virginia, if the pass isn't working, maybe we need to go... And we need to go ahead and take
I've
it
seen
to
this
the,
number too. It's bad.
Take it to the ground. Maybe we need to go ahead and you know get running. they had negative 8 yards on the day, including Brendan Armstrong's rushing total, which Brendan Armstrong last year was an effective running quarterback. I want everybody to remember that too. He rushed for negative 46 yards, and Virginia finished negative 8 on the day. Which if they were playing golf, man. Smoking, that's great. Have yourself a couple cold ones at the 19th hole. Negative 8, that's a real bad total.
Year over year, Brendan Armstrong is something. Here's it, now, this is a complete season versus a partial one, but we're pretty fucking close to done with 2022. Completion percentage dropped from 65.2% to just under 55% this year. Yards per attempt went from 8.9 down to 6.7. Touchdowns to interceptions last year. 31 touchdowns to 10 picks. This year, still 10 picks, even though there's two games left to play. Touchdowns, six. Six passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
This is bad times. This is extremely bad times.
Yeah, we're not getting it done. I mean, and it would be anything but throwing two interceptions in the first two plays of the game.
And no more after that.
You know, he did slow down a little bit. Good for him. And he did throw Virginia's lone touchdown. But man,
yeah.
UVA is one of those places, man, where like when you say, hey, listen, I'm gonna strip this place to the studs, there's not much drywall that you gotta take down. Right? It's like, and it's done. Wow, there's not much to the fundamentals here. None. You can get to the basement real quickly. The floor is right there.
So now
So
now Virginia Tech has to go play Liberty and Virginia has to go play Coastal Carolina. Are there two different colleges that close together that you can think of?
You two fucking idiots.
They probably vote the same way.
That's fair.
There's kind of like a horseshoe theory. There's a horseshoe theory of vibes in play here.
Right.
I don't know if coastal fans are big on government stuff.
Yeah, no, one's like, I'm gonna vote for Governor Knife because he's gonna go ahead and get me a good deal on my capital gains. And the other one's like, I'm gonna vote for Governor Knife because I want to watch him fucking kill someone.
Anyway, speaking of Nazi collaborators, how did Northwestern do today?
Wow. Really bad. Really fucking bad.
Wow.
Like they are really contending for
They still haven't won
spot.
A game in this hemisphere, have they?
No, and quite authoritatively this time.
We got to bring it back.
With particularly with Boston College picking up a win over NC State, what the hell is wrong with you, NC State? I think the race for worst team in all the Power Five comes down to Northwestern, Colorado, and Virginia Tech.
I respect Dave Doran tanking so he doesn't have to interview for the Stanford job. That flight's got to suck.
Is Dave Doran like, oh, I'm just looking forward to a quiet offseason at home. Fuck it.
He might be. Listen, I was going to say that Nick Saban is clearly quiet quitting, but maybe it's him.
Nick was happy today after that loss. Or if win. Loss win.
You gave the thing
away. No, that was a win. That was a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a win for a 5-5 ass football team.
That, wow. Wow.
He's not wrong.
Look at him. Look at him, man. They're
what does that make Ole Miss then?
A
4-6 ass football team.
Ole Miss, yeah. They're 8-2. That's what they're with their records.
They are with their records.
Bama's three or four plays away from not having a bowl shirt.
Okay, this was not one of those games though. This was not a game where you were like,
were points.
Crafty Bama pulled it out. It was like,
to be fair, I didn't watch the last 7 minutes. I don't know what happened then. Sounds like it must have gone good for Bama.
There were just a lot of points where it was like, ah, fuck, Ole Miss has to pass. They really don't like doing it. And that's why they don't like doing it.
Lane did a pretty good Mac Brown on Nick in the pregame. Did y'all see? Like got him with the photo clutch. Got him with like the hand and the shoulder thing. And then Nick kind of tried to awkwardly squeeze some of his own life force back out of Lane's like liver.
I hope Lane was like, "Hey man, great to see you. Do you have a good realtor in state? No reason.
Just asking.
Just curious.
Listen, tell Miss Terry I've been meaning to call her back." Been really busy.
I just wanted to point one thing out from LSU Arkansas, and it's
sorry, I made a joke, and now all I can think about is Lane running away with Nick Saban's wife.
She has needs.
Man,
she thinks I'm more financially stable than you are.
Oh God! Lane's bought some boat. Lane's bought several boats. I bet you anything, given his career, just fits and starts. I bet you anything, he's never been underwater in real estate.
No, he's probably not allowed to buy any.
That's fair. You think Monty still has to co-sign?
Kiffin 100% has one of those like kids checking accounts where it's like, well, did your mom say you could buy this, son?
Do you think he still goes to a pediatrician?
Yeah, because he loves lollipops.
I mean, I would
like,
go.
I
to
sit on the fire truck around.
I would. Go to go to.
I don't
office.
Go to a dentist that won't give me vampire teeth at the end. That's stupid.
He
why would
go
I
to
do
the
that?
Dentist. Now who's crazy?
I mean, come on. I have kids. I have taken to a pediatrician's office. It's way nicer than an adult doctor's office. It's way cooler.
You sat on the fire truck, didn't you?
I would. If I was given the opportunity, I would sit on it.
If I was given the opportunity,
I would sit on it.
Writing that one down.
He's been asked not to several times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have like a PlayStation in the waiting room.
Do they want fights?
You go to your adult
doctor.
Yeah,
that's how you get more business.
Yeah.
Or what's that?
Doctor.
You came here for a checkup and now you got a dislocated shoulder? Cha-ching!
You go to your adult doctor, you get some very, very bad news about a test, and you're like, well, I guess we'll have a treatment plan and I'll talk to my next of kin, but let me finish up that game out there, because you had an Echo the Dolphin emulator and I evolved it.
God damn. Yeah, I need something more depressing than my diagnosis. I'm going to play Echo the Dolphin. I'm going to play this shit about being lost in time and my whole family's dead and I'm a dolphin.
Yeah.
Did y'all see the guy slow rolling Sonic today?
No.
There's a guy on Twitter who's like, I paid $66 for this game. I'm not going to rush it. And it was the Sonic game, the open world Sonic game, but he was just walking instead of sprinting, right? Like he's just creeping with the Sonic.
It was some nice scenery. You don't really appreciate the Green Hill Zone as it, you know, whooshes by always.
I wanted to mention one thing from the LSU Arkansas game, and that is Harold Perkins. Harold goddamn Perkins. Yep. Harold Perkins. First of all, if you are a man, Harold Perkins Jr.
He might be older than Hendon Hooker. I will concede.
I, He might be. Harold Perkins is like a 37 year old man. That man has
a
pension.
Not a, yeah. But according to eligibility rules, he will be here for a bit. He is not moving on.
He is a freshman.
Yep.
That is a freshman who today against Arkansas had 4 sacks and 4 tackles for loss. A ferocious human being when it comes to playing defense. He's unreal. Like, absolutely unreal. How are you the scariest person on the defense when BJ Ojulari and a dude named Micah Baskerville, a literal spectral hound, is on your defense? So, and you, there's somebody scarier than that.
You've mentioned Harold Perkins is a freshman. And watching him today is indeed every time you look away from the TV, he's making another play. Same as last week. And that, his freshman status is interesting to me because within this calendar year, he was committed to Texas A&M, but he didn't end up there because he ended up at LSU. And it sure seems they could have used Harold Perkins. Granted, anyone could use Harold Perkins, but I imagine it hurts a little bit worse for the Aggies, considering they nearly had Harold Perkins, and now they don't for 3 years of not having Harold Perkins.
They could have used Harold Perkins Sr., frankly.
You want all the Harold Perkinses you can.
Harold Perkins sounds like the guy who where you don't have, like, you have crescent wrenches in your toolbox but no socket wrenches, and you know that he's got a full set and he won't give you too much shit about borrowing it.
Oh,
because he's just glad that you weren't prepared, but you knew enough to ask for help.
I was gonna say it sounds like a 70s British gangster movie.
That also works.
Errol Perkins. Michael Caine is Errol Perkins.
Errol Perkins.
Wait, was that Harry's last name? What was Harry's last name?
I don't remember.
Okay. Errol Perkins.
Errol.
Yeah. You're the meanest man in Newcastle.
And now they're like, and now in Cockney slang, they're like modern day pills. Like, give me some of those Harry Perks.
Oi, going off a batch of Harry Perks.
Sorry, I shouldn't have opened the window for Spencer to do accents. This one's
listen,
on me.
It doesn't need a window. There he's slithering there through the
beatbox.
Pipes.
No, you got this man beatboxing. What is happening here?
He's like a squirrel. He can compress his body through incredibly small spaces.
Now that that is squirrel white, man.
Like a rat.
Errol Perkins smells
wait,
a rat.
Wait,
he
wait,
does.
Wait, sorry. Once again, we've got to ask Spencer. What do you think rats do?
Are rats squishy squirrels?
No. A rat can fit through an opening in a wall in a metal, like a metal opening, right? That they chew through. They can fit through an
like
opening the size of a quarter.
Yeah. Oh, he's wow. Right about that.
That's incredibly. Yeah. Wait, what do their ribs do? Don't rats have ribs?
They just sort of all
just make it work, man.
Do they just like telescope back? Oh,
they just sort of transformer inside. Yeah,
they just get not hardcore. Good. They just get hardcore with it. Just like we're making it through.
That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, by the way, upset alert. End of the third quarter. Arizona 21, UCLA 14.
After like weeks of like, boy, USC UCLA sure looks exciting this year. Well, it might not.
We should
might
go.
Not after all.
Arizona through the skylight with the shotgun. Hello.
An actual really great game of today, elsewhere in this conference, was Washington, Oregon.
Yes, correct.
What
yes.
on earth happened there?
Number 25, Washington pulls out the thrilling victory over number 6, Oregon. In a back and forth game that threatened to become Bo Nix Heisman moment. Our boy suffered a bit of an injury toward the end, but it's an incredible game in which players on the field were the star of the show until there was a little bit of a change at the very end as Pac-12 officials decided they should instead get center stage.
Thank God.
The game
Every
came down
time.
To an illegal touching call in which an Oregon receiver didn't actually even appear to step out of bounds.
It was so it, weird. But... It was so, like, Fox only had, like, 2 angles of this, neither of which could really tell you anything. This also came right after an Oregon, like, I know, listen, I know, you're not supposed to say that anyone's faking an injury. You're not supposed to, because players get hurt and players cramp, and, like, yes, playing football is super hard. That said, an Oregon player, after picking up first down, immediately went down, giving Oregon a basically free timeout because the clock had stopped to move the chains. And they basically had to go and tell Kalen DeBoer, like, well, sorry, he found the infinite timeout loophole, and we got to give it to him. There's nothing we could do about
it. He's laying there screaming, my bacchiotomy. My bacchiotomy!
This also happened after Oregon went for it on fourth and one from, like, their own 34 in a tie game. And didn't call a timeout, even though Bo Nix said he, like, appeared to want to come back in the game. Uh-huh. It was, yeah.
I think Oregon knew that they did not deserve to win while wearing that particular color combo, and acted accordingly.
It was awfully yellow.
Ugh.
I don't like the shininess of the black.
Yeah, it's that particular combo that's just, ugh.
Okay. Matte black with that yellow, I would be fine with.
Didn't stop game-winning quarterback Michael Penix from throwing an interception into the arms of no less than four Oregon defenders in nuke yellow. Like, labeled, highlighted. Mm-hmm. I could not make it more apparent that this is the person you are not supposed to throw to.
Oh, it's the when you only get, like, the 8 marker pack, it's that mm-hmm. yellow. That's the yellow you get.
If something's labeled,
yes.
Yeah, if something's labeled this kind of yellow, it's either something you're not supposed to hit on a highway,
right.
Or it's the boundary between you and the part of the nuclear plant where you will die in 3 seconds from gamma exposure.
This is where the life preservers are, idiot.
Dying right. In 3 seconds is kind of a best case scenario there.
Yeah, and Michael Penix just laced an interception right in there. Spicy with it.
But he also threw an amazing touchdown pass that put them ahead in this game.
He threw 408 yards, and his team defeated their the most hated rival. And, yeah, despite the nuke pick.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And, Washington would possibly be in the conversation for the playoff, if not for a fucking 7-point loss to Arizona State. God, it's really mm-hmm. not a Pac-12 season until one of the Arizona schools has fucked something up precipitously. It was, like, super bad for someone.
Like we and said,
we're on the verge of both of them.
That's like true. We said, that's true.
Arizona
that's
21.
True. They're trying. You beautiful idiots.
Absolutely adore that state's position in the Pac-12 as never prospering, but always spiteful. Never prospering, but always spiteful. I need to check on something. Mm-hmm. That is, how many passes it took for Mississippi State to score 12 offensive points against the Georgia Bulldogs. 51! 51 passes for 12 points, because they got 7 on a kick return at the end of the first half. I thought it was going to be 50 passes for 9 points, so you exceeded my expectations. Well done.
The most important thing in this game was Stetson Bennett just absolutely
shaking a man,
absolutely breaking a man's ankles with his shifty sexual hips.
That's upsetting.
The sexual male.
Every time I watch Stetson Bennett play quarterback and thrive, I'm like, someone stop this man.
He can't keep getting away with this.
Keep the rampage must end at one point.
I'm telling you, man, the fucking Heisman moment for this dweeb is putting the fucking shimmy on.
I hope the reason the Ravens don't want to pay Lamar Jackson is they're like, we want Stetson. Stetson could do all of that for cheaper.
We got the same guy coming up out of college,
and he's like 3 months younger too, which is great for us.
He's got a sick ass truck.
He's got such a sick truck. Have you ever seen him chug a tall boy? Most beautiful thing you'll ever see. Death in Venice.
God, starring... it's like getting dunked on by Paul Reiser. It's fucking great. Like, imagine if Paul Reiser just fucking gammed on you. That's admit it. Shaking your ass in the open field.
Seriously, man. This, like, 25-year-old, like, third-tier country club pro in residence. Just out there absolutely destroying
cooking,
people one-on-one.
Just cooking.
No, like, don't. I'm laughing about it. But he's absolutely frying, motherfucker.
He had rushing touchdowns tonight again.
It's great.
I synced it.
It's great.
He's Schrodinger's dog.
I don't at all think he's bad, to be clear. It's just universally acknowledged he should not be doing any of the things he does.
Yeah,
it
doesn't make sense, but that's part of why it's amazing.
Against Tennessee, I watched him whip out like a 55-yarder, like with a minimal bit of wrist action. Like,
oh, that wasn't even the worst part, man. I'll tell you when I knew we were fucking doomed is when their first score in that game was Stetson Bennett, fucking noted scrambling threat, guy whose nickname is the Mailman, just fucking ambling in for a rushing touchdown.
Texas A&M has 9 rushing touchdowns this year. Stetson Bennett has 7.
Let's go. Let's go. They should have offered him, shouldn't they? Also, in case anyone accuses me of not believing in Stetson Bennett, I do still hold a Heisman bet on him. So,
Jason, did you see the Heisman watch today that ran on, it was during one of the CBS games, and I only remember it because, and God love them both, but it was like Heisman watch, and it featured 2 players, C.J. Stroud and Hendon Hooker.
Oh, nope, those are the wrong 2. That's, yep. That's, I understand.
Appreciate them both, love them both.
However, I understand the sensibility and the optimism of hoping the race will come down to those individuals, but it's not what's going to happen. It's just not.
No.
Acknowledge him. Tribal Chief Stetson Bennett.
He'll drive up there for the ceremony, whether you invite him or not.
In his Kia.
Yep.
Oh, and he's going to score in the national championship when Georgia wins again. And he's going to hit a gritty, and no one's going to complain.
It's going to be perfect. It's going to be fucking perfect.
It's gonna
and
be
Mike Gesicki's going to be like, God damn it. It can't be done.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I can't hate it. I just want to note that how improbable and persistent the Stetson Bennett phenomena is. He could do this. He could be the only guy who win a championship this year. And at the end, they'll be like, so you're out of eligibility. He's like, no, I'm not. The NCAA is like, he's not.
Back for more.
He's back for more. It's Reign of Terror would never end.
You swore you were free of him.
I know. And there's Kirby who's like, he's going to get an F-150 Lightning and he's going to look so pretty in it.
I have officially adopted him.
Yeah. The son I never knew I had. Oh, God. Yeah.
No, did we miss anything?
Stop. No, I don't think we missed. I don't think we missed a damn thing, unless you want to count.
I do have one question that Jason could probably answer. What the fuck's gonna happen with the Group 5 spot?
Probably UCF.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in good shape in the AAC. Already ranked and beat a ranked team on the road. It's probably UCF. Okay. So, hey Auburn, here you're in the market for a head coach. Might ought to keep an eye on that New Year's 6 game. See if there's anybody worth picking up.
Oh, boy.
I don't know, man. Speaking of dealerships, they could stand to look a lot closer to home.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself a nice Cadillac.
Oh, you know the one thing we didn't discuss
what?
Today is this. We didn't talk about 2 extremely stupid things that happened. I mean, we touched on it just a little bit in terms of LOL Oklahoma, but...
Was it Arkansas possibly... I haven't seen this confirmed. Was it Arkansas possibly responding to frost on the field with turning on the sprinklers?
I did.
What?
No, I did like, yeah, they did. And it's kind of just made things worse.
Yeah.
I like LSU having a gigantic thing of chicken broth, which, Nick Baumgartner of The Athletic and several other Northerners, were laughing at this. And I was like, sorry, y'all didn't think of this delicious, tasty treat first. Haters.
You never know when a sudden cold snap might drive it down to 45.
And listen, it's 45 and it's by the river, man. That's
yeah,
cold.
It's a harsh 45.
It's
y'all
a brutal.
Y'all don't understand.
I think it was actually 53 degrees at the time the temperature fell over the course of the game, and they came out with like a bunch of chicken broth.
Well, what's funny is it might get cloudy. Is like Northerners are all like, ah, these idiot Southerners, and meanwhile they're like, oh, but this is also the thing I pay $22 for at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I want to know who's going to carry the chicken broth over into the hot season, right? Like, what LSU player is like, yeah, I need to get my broth on. It's like, can't play without it anymore. They're like, dude, it's 98 degrees.
I need my hot broth.
Broth me.
Yeah, broth me. Soup man, come on over here, just ladling it at him.
Yeah, coach is not going to be coach is not going to be at the press conference. He's very badly injured from all the hot broth dumped on him.
Just got a squirt bottle of chowder.
Boston College did win today. So.
They did. Chowder me.
Whoa. What were you trying to do just there?
Nothing.
It's fine.
We could just keep moving.
Right. What was the weird thing you saw?
The other weird thing was this, and it's not, I mean, it is weird. Is this, did you actually see the end of Vandy, Kentucky?
Yes. You mean the part where Vandy completed a like prayer on fourth down?
Uh-huh.
And the part where Kentucky could not move the ball at all with Will Levis?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And yeah, where, I did see these things.
Yeah, where with the game on the line, it was like, and Will Levis to the comeback, and it's over. Like, because he got annihilated on a blitz. Yeah. Couldn't do anything, couldn't go anywhere. That offensive line is absolute ass. Kentucky has completely collapsed.
No, I mean, like, if you look at the box score of this game, does not show, like, oh, lucky Vanderbilt, like, made a play or two. It's like, no, they mostly just beat the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Outgained them in the air, on the ground. Like, we're actually the sloppier team, had more penalties and more turnovers. Held the ball for an extra 7 minutes. Way better on third down than Kentucky was. Like, completely deserved to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And Kentucky is now, it feels weird to say, but is in the midst of, like, a bad season, even though they're going to go to a bowl game.
Yeah. Started off 4-0, beat Florida.
Yep. That is the thing that happened.
Yep. And then contracted some sort of infection by losing to Mississippi. And
in a super stupid way, like, blew the Mississippi game.
Like gave up 4 points on special teams.
And blew two opportunities to score in the red zone late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And by the red zone, I mean like inside the 10 or some shit. Got obliterated by Tennessee. Did beat Missouri, but through the most bullshit possible.
That's not, listen, before today, because again, remember, somebody has to break the streak against someone.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to, someone is going to run out of chairs.
Sure. Right?
When the music stops and you're going to lose to Vanderbilt. And that was Kentucky. But before this, remember, Kentucky also lost to South Carolina.
Something very stupid is going to happen in the Kentucky-Louisville game this year.
Yo.
I don't know what it is, but it's going to be incredibly stupid.
Switch coaches.
Oh, I thought you meant like, never mind.
Yeah,
I am. Make it weird.
That's fine.
No, just a complete collapse for Kentucky because that offensive line cannot block anything. And good on Mike Wright, who after losing his job threw the game-winning touchdown and had a brilliant game going for more than 100 yards on the ground and having a nice tidy 180 and change through the air.
We have always been fans of the Doors and UConn.
Listen, the entire full cast attended UConn Vandy.
I think that's one of maybe two games that we've all collectively been to together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that says something, and it's probably good.
Careful, Ryan. Might have irony poisoning.
And yeah, that's true.
I do.
Since then, it's been nothing but uphill for both programs.
Yep.
So,
not for us.
No, not for us.
No,
not
actually, it hasn't. No.
No, but for both programs, yeah. So, if your programs are currently in the gutter, what I'm saying is this: Texas A&M, have us, give us a luxury box. Give us sideline passes.
I don't want to go to that.
A&M UMass.
Don't say have us.
I definitely don't want to go to A&M UMass.
Give us the luxury box for A&M UMass. We will be there.
3 years. That's the national title game. Texas A&M versus UMass. The rematch.
The sad thing is somebody there will think about it. They'll be like, well, we've tried everything else. We sure, might as well get the four sure dumbest assholes possible.
It's sure cheaper than firing Jimbo. It is. A lot cheaper.
Okay, let's just entertain this. If UMass beats Texas A&M, I know what I just said.
Let's go. No, let's go.
All right, let's ride this dragon.
Can that, like, at that point, does money even matter? Is money even real?
Money doesn't matter now.
Right. Money's not real.
Good evening, Jay Arnold's repeated tear emoji.
they're
about to flow.
If that happens, and I will point out, UMass almost beat Arkansas State today.
Yeah, that's Arkansas State, by the way.
That is our.
This is going to be at least a 30-point spread. So yeah, if A&M drops,
like that has
drops
to
is a
that
five touchdown the favorite.
Like you can't if you get to Monday and if you haven't fired him, like why? Why?
Come on, UMass, be great. Here's what will happen.
You know this is going to happen. There's going to be a point in the first quarter of that game where it's like, uh-oh, UMass is up 3-0. This shit's happening. Everybody turn to SEC Network Alternate where you're usually watching Card Sharks or some shit.
Man, Card Sharks is a great show.
You know how high the bar of funniest thing in college football history is? Like, it feels like we see that every week, but yes. Like when you think about all 150 right. plus years of right. history, that is a high, high, high bar. This would be an instant, immediate and might actually be the funniest thing in the history of college football.
Come on, Don Brown.
I mean, mathematically, it has to be.
It's up there.
It would be amazing. It would be amazing. I know it won't happen, but.
No, you don't. Not technically.
No, I'm pretty confident it's not going to happen.
I've already attempted to jinx it online by crediting A&M with the victory over UMass. I'm counting you out, UMass. No one believes in you. I mean, you know no one believes in you, and you know why, but still.
Like, your only conference win is because Arkansas kicked the weirdest field goal I've ever seen in my life. Arkansas had to bounce a field goal off the top of the uprights. That's where your conference win comes from. Fuck me.
Yeah, that's amazing. I am so thrilled that this is even a possibility because one of my great joys in life is when people set money on fire. And what is an even funnier result than somebody who paid $95 million for you to coach their team, paying you $95 million to go away, and then doubling down and paying the next guy more.
But
paying the next guy more.
But that's going to happen, and like at this point, we're probably going to see Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, too. And Kirk Ferentz will be like,
I did it again.
Looks like I accomplished all my goals. Once again, the Iowa system worked. Given time to process meat, the meat was processed.
The meat processed itself thanks to gravity.
Just waiting. Yeah, except this is like when the garbage takes itself out by rotting through the can. Like, look, it's done. I did it.
The hole in the floor is where the garbage
got
melted into.
Oh, sorry for composting.
Yeah. One last note. I do have one last note, which is USC and Colorado played on Friday night. And I think they were up 34-10, USC decided instead of kicking it up 34-10 in the third quarter, they decided to fake it and fake the kick. The holder went in for the score and then did a flip to celebrate a successful two-point conversion, to which I say, if you don't like it, stop it. Sorry.
Damn. Colorado, you have a lot of things to not like.
I wish he had grabbed the camera and been like, fuck Eli Drinkwitz. That's it. It'd be like, wow, everybody, jeez.
Nerd.
So unnecessary.
Unanimous.
I bet even nerds hate Eli Drinkwitz. Like, they get, like, you know, they sort of, like, apply.
You have Bill's number? Call him. I don't know.
Yeah. Come on, Mizzou. I know this is nerd on nerd violence. I just need to zero in on what kind of nerd on nerd violence, right?
One last thing. There was, so the Big Ten's been putting out all these videos about, like, we ask these coaches, like, relatively simple questions, but because they're coaches and their brains are completely different. Mm-hmm. This week's was, if you weren't coaching football, what would you do? And most people gravitated towards Jim Harbaugh saying he'd be a linesman.
Yeah.
But the secret best one, which somebody pointed out to me, was like, Pat Fitzgerald said, I would be a high school PE teacher, and I would teach a little driver's ed, and I would coach football. So even in the world where they say, Pat Fitzgerald, what would you do if you don't coach football? Pat Fitzgerald's like, oh, I'd be a football coach. Football.
Pat Fitzgerald coaches the Spencer Hall School of Listening.
I'm going to work my way up through the ranks. I'm going to start in middle school. Then I'm going to become the JV coach. And then next thing you know, I'm coaching at a D3 school maybe. And then I'm the coach at Northwestern for 25 years.
Could not comprehend even the make-believe world in which he is not a football coach. Couldn't accept it.
I wonder if they're like, all right, they're like, coach, you can't work in education at all. Right? Like,
yeah,
because
right,
that's too
right,
closely
right.
related to football.
CFL. I'd go to the CFL then.
No, they have.
That's Canadian football. That's different.
You can't coach American football. Oh well, they got the Japanese league. They got American football in Japan.
You can't coach football anywhere in the world. Well, I'd jump into the computer machine and I'd live in Madden and I'd just be a coach there.
I'd take up rugby and turn it into football.
Yeah, I'd legalize the forward pass in rugby. And also, we wear helmets.
I'd go back in time and I'd punch Teddy Roosevelt right in the throat for legalizing the forward pass. Mm-hmm. Ruin the game.
For making football too unionized.
I know that they have Paul Christ's answers, but they take it out because he's been fired.
Yes.
So when he said, what would you be if you weren't a football coach? Don't tell me. Don't spoil the dream of me saying that Paul Christ definitely said, oh, I'd be the Night Panther, the voice in the dark, the one who stalks those who dare to violate the oath of the night solitude.
Is this a superhero that he is like actively trying to like sell a script of?
Yeah. 100%.
You don't know about the Night Panther?
Oh, you don't know about Night Panther? Is that the Black Panther? No, completely different character. Does not infringe. Does not.
He's substantially thicker and denser because I live in a cold place. He's a chunky superhero.
Beautiful,
representation is important.
Beautiful coat. Beautiful
he wears
coat.
He wears a black sweatshirt.
He's very lustrous.
He actually wears just like whatever Carhartt he has handy. He's very flexible in that way.
It's the same suit, except it's cut off at the knees. Like he's wearing shorts. You can see his legs, so you know there's a real guy in there.
Because he's got popping calves.
And he lives in a magical technical utopia called Wisconsin.
It's
amazing.
His best friend is Lake Man. It's like Aquaman, but he lives in a
lake. Man.
And he can jump from
just
get
the
this,
one.
He, get this. He can jump from any lake to any other lake. Yeah. So if there's crime happening during the trajectory, he can encounter it and apprehend the villain.
Yeah.
But if he misses, he will have to wait for the villain to cross between the routes between two lakes.
Yeah. And
Tom Allen said he would be a youth pastor, which I interpreted as Tom Allen saying, only God can save Indiana football.
He's wrong about that.
He just won't.
No, he won't.
I think was likewise a sneaky backdoor to coaching more football.
It was, yeah. You know what would help these boys and understanding God and help them along their path? I think working as a team, together.
3 minutes into Tom Allen doing Bible study. Who wants to play flag football?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, he's just getting back at it. Unlike Paul Chris, the only honest man, because he's like, what I really want to be is a superhero.
The Night Panther.
I actually kind of hate football.
Wisconsin.
I just did football to get a big pile of money so I could fund my passion mm-hmm. project.
Yeah, which is ice fishing as the Night Panther.
So we got this villain called the No Beer guy, who's trying to do prohibition.
Yeah.
And so I kill him in the first 5 minutes. And then that's where I'm stuck, is because like I couldn't let that guy live longer than 5 minutes for trying to take away my Busch Light.
Ooh, hate that guy. What did Brett Bielema say? Because my first guess
marketing.
On
Bielema. He said he had a marketing degree, and so he would go into some sort of business marketing.
OnlyFans is what I'm hearing.
You want to see some shit?
every off ramp from this particular voice, Jason, is it's straight bad. To hell. It's straight exactly. to fucking hell.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
All right. I'm good if y'all are.
The Night Panther calls to you.
The Night Panther calls to us. You gotta go.
He locked himself out.
Yeah. The Night Panther calls means I'm gonna drink 7 beers now.
You can find me in the Brandy Cave if you need me.
Coach, that's a rip off of the Bat Cave. Nope.
No.
So, totally no, different. We
stop Wisconsin saying that.
Wisconsin had Brandy Caves long before.
Coach, Wisconsin's a ripoff of Nebraska. Stop saying these things to me. I'll sick the Night Panther.
You're making the Night Panther furious.
Yeah. You won't like the Night Panther. And
meanwhile,
when he's
the
sober.
Big Ten camera crew is like, we can't use any of this.
We can't use.
They
Jesus
have to
Christ.
Fire him. Yeah. We can't use any of this.
Oh God.
The Big Ten's gonna get sued.
They have to let Jim Leonard take over. We can't use this.
Jim Leonard. But what they don't know is that Jim Leonard is the Night Panther.
Oh, Jim. Jim Leopard, the secondary character, the sidekick.
Oh my God.
So it's, Coach, this sounds like you've made him sort of a Robin character. Stop telling me these things. You're responsible for this now.
I don't want to know shit about comics. I just want to talk about the Night Panther. The Night Panther, by the way, is, you know, an inherited title like Black Panther. The Night Panther comes from Barry Alvarez. Like, he was the original Night Panther, but he's, like, too fat and old to do it now. But sometimes Barry, like, gets the urge, and he's like, tonight I'm the Night Panther. And then, like, you know, they have to pick him up because he's injured himself getting, you know, falling off the sidewalk at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. But whenever he says it, he is. Because, like, what are you going to do?
Yep.
Yeah. It's Barry. It's the original Night Panther.
Look at him, man. That's the original Night Panther.
I smell bratwurst and despair on the air.
There's got to be a cocktail called Night Panther, right?
There is now. We're going to make it.
There is now.
It's a Brandy Alexander with a brat in it. On ice, double.
We have to go. We have to be done.
Yes.
Night-night.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. And this will be up in the morning. Thanks to our...
No, it won't. You fucking liar. What a lie. What? Way to throw Doug under the fucking bus. It'll be up at 7 a.m. says man not responsible for that in any way, shape, or form.
It'll be up a morning.
This is probably how NASA.
If it doesn't get lost again, which already happened once
this
week.
Which could happen.
This is how NASA felt when JFK was like, we're sending a man to the moon. They're like, we? You ain't doing shit, motherfucker. I'm doing all the work.
You don't even know how to do math.
What kind of fucking promises are you making? Are you
many
drunk
of you
right
may
now?
Many of you may die in this war, but it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
We do not post the episode in the morning because it is easy.
Spencer, the episode will be up. What the? Are you talking?
It's good to promise things. People like promises. That's what I've learned from politics.
I mean, to be fair, that's how you end up with a $95 million contract. So maybe you're right.
That's right.
This is
Spencer's version of holding up the plaque that says National Champions 2-0 blank blank.
We've had a player in every Super Bowl except for 5 of them. Okay.
All right. Go to bed, everybody.
Good night.
Let me die.